Welcome to the Bad Roman Podcast. On this show, we talk with veterans, community leaders, Christians and non-Christians, as we explore the entanglement of Christians with the state. The Bad Roman Project was created out of the firm belief that as Christians, we are called to follow Christ, not the state. Here is your host, Craig Hargis.
Hey, folks. During the journey that is the Bad Roman Project, I've come across some fantastic content. And when I find fantastic content, I reach out to schedule a conversation so y'all can enjoy the same content. And today is no different. The guys from Against All Flags podcast are here to talk some No King But Christ, which is my favorite topic. And Against All Flags reminds me of one of my favorite Tertullian quotes, "Shall we carry a flag in his arrival to Christ?"
Let's go. Yeah.
Left, right, left, right.
We got our marching orders, man.
Left, right, left, right.
We'd rather serve God than serve Caesar, you feel me?
Right, I'm just trying to live what he said. I'm just trying to live.
I've been looking forward to this conversation, man. I've enjoyed y'all's content, you know, the No King But Christ. Y'all are pretty staunch No King But Christ guys, and I think we need more of that in this world. I encourage people all the time to get out there, start a podcast, write a blog, do something. If you have this understanding of No King But Christ, get out there and do something and tell people how you feel about this and tell them the truth about this and be consistent in this messaging. And what I love about y'all's podcast is y'all are consistent in this messaging. There's no wavering. Like we were talking about before we started recording, there's a lot of things that you can read in the early church where they didn't agree all the time on theology about hell, baptism, whatever. But at the end of the day, they were all No King But Christ. They understood that specifically who their king was. And that's what Against All Flags is doing with their show as well. And I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. We appreciate you, man. I mean, you're one of the trailblazers.
Oh, I don't know, man. This started with anarcho-Christian, man. When I first discovered Christian anarchy, and I've mentioned this 100 times on the show, that I thought I discovered something new. And then I got introduced to anarcho-Christian. You know, Stephen Rose from anarcho-Christian, that guy, to me, was the trailblazer. I remember going to church and listening to his podcast on the way to church, and I get to church and I'm thinking, y'all are missing the point here in this building right now. Y'all need to listen to anarcho-Christian because he's got all this stuff figured out how we should be engaging the empire. And then it led me into reading early church stuff. And so I appreciate anarcho-Christian so much. So for you to call me a trailblazer, that's very humbling, actually. But we do what we can here at the Bad Roman Project. So what I'd like to do is start with Anthony. We got Anthony, Nathan, and Wyatt on the show, all from Against All Flags. I'm going to start with Anthony, get a little background from Anthony. Tell us whatever you want folks to know about you, and then we'll go to Nathan and Wyatt, and then we'll get into the conversation.
Yeah, I'm Anthony, the Florida boy from the Against All Flags Project. I grew up a Republican Catholic, and as I fell out of Catholicism and politics, I kind of started leaning towards libertarianism, maybe constitutionalism, and I ran into Nate here on Instagram, and it's where we met, so that's kind of where we remained based. And through the conversations over the last year and a half with Nate and Wyatt, it's actually helped shape me with the addition of my daughter into this world, to re-embracing Christ and Christianity. And these gentlemen have just helped me, you know, grow in that facet.
Awesome. Nathan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Nathan. I am technically the founder of the page and podcast. We've gone through some rebrandings. The original page was Not a Real Libertarian till I found out that I don't really want to be associated with libertarianism as a whole, as well as there's actually another podcast called that. So I was like, got to move away from that. We started the show, I think it was called Thank Me For My Service, 2 years ago when we first started it. Because I just the bro vet stuff kind of made me think of that. And then as we went on, I'm like, this really doesn't fit the brand, what we're trying to do. And I think it was one of Errol Flynn's last movies. It's a terrible movie, but it's a pirate movie. It's called Against All Flags. And I liked the terminology, you know, think of like pirates, the enemies of the world. They had no flag. They had no country. And obviously, I'm not in favor of piracy and theft and killing people. But I was like, that's kind of cool because it reminded me of the Tertullian quote of, are we to, you know, have a banner, its arrival to Christ. So I was like, okay, this works. And definitely it kind of plays into that like anarchist punk kind of vibe. And so I was just like, okay, that's the new name. That's the page. That's the podcast. And through the growth of those names and changes of the page names is kind of where I found Christian anarchism and embraced it fully. I was kind of your typical like Ted Cruz constitutionalist for a while. I mean, that's the family I came from. And after 2016, I was like, this is just not it. So I switched over to libertarian, and I love Ron Paul and all those guys. And gosh, to think I was an Austin Peterson fan for a while and all that stuff. And now he's defending the death of innocents in Gaza.
Dude, you just told my story. You just...
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will relate to this this story, certainly. And because yeah, I moved from there onto guys like Dave Smith, who are a lot more, at least morally consistent, even if he's still kind of in that minarchist, we need to use minarchism to get to anarchism kind of place. And I still have a lot of respect for Dave Smith, so I don't want to trash talk him. But through him, then I'm like, okay, Michael Malice, anarchism, this circle, these words are bubbling up. The Anarchist Handbook, start reading that. And then Anarcho-Christian, discover Stephen's work. And it's just like, boom, this is the most logically and morally consistent stuff I've ever heard. I'm trying to refute it. I'm trying to, you know, steel man the statist case and see if there's anything to it. And I just can't. So that happened, I guess, early 2022, right after I started the podcast. And so it's just been growing, you know, for the past 2 years, just reading more early church, reading more scripture, listening more to you and to Stephen. I know he's on hiatus now, but I still go back and listen to those episodes. And yeah, and so we just kind of ended up in this place. I ended up in this place, and I just want to spread the word, even if it's just a few people listening or a ton of people listening. Man, like, I'm one guy who got changed by the No King But Christ message. And so if I can amplify that, that's really, really the goal. And I met Wyatt and Anthony through Instagram. And you know, Wyatt is a veteran. And I support the troops. And but Wyatt, you know, he's very disillusioned. And he had so much to say to me about all that stuff, all the inner workings of that bureaucracy. And then Anthony's just the coolest dude and runs a cool page. And so we just talked a bunch, and I was like, I gotta get you guys in on this. And so that's that whole long rant to say there, that's me, and that's kind of my background.
No, I love that, man. And you mentioned Austin Peterson, man. Because when I remember, and I forgot that dude's name. I forgot all about this guy until you mentioned him. I remember because I was coming out of that whole thing when Donald Trump and Ted Cruz were back and forth, and I was a Ted Cruz guy. You know, I was like, this is the, you know, and I was the one celebrating, we're going to make the sand glow type things that he was saying. I was that guy, you know, and... And then Donald Trump got the nomination. I was like, I can't do this. And then somebody that I worked with, I had a side hustle at this sports bar in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And this dude was a libertarian. And he kept talking to me about libertarianism. I'm like, this is garbage. This doesn't make any sense. And then he messaged me about this Austin Peterson guy. And I watched the debate between Austin Peterson and Gary Johnson. And was it McAfee, I think? Then he lost the nomination to Gary Johnson. I was like, this guy's a tool. I'm not voting for Gary Johnson either. And then Stephen listened to this podcast. So, Stephen, when you hear this, we are telling you to get back on that podcast and do some more content because we miss Anarcho-Christian.
That's true.
Wyatt, always late to the party drinking water. What's up, buddy?
So, I grew up in high school kind of pretty normally conservative. I don't know if it'd be completely normal because it's like, my dad, his father was a tax assessor for the county when he grew up. And so my grandfather, like, he weirdly instilled in my dad hating taxes almost indirectly. Cause he, like, my grandpa would, like, explain his job to my dad. And my dad, like, realized as a young kid that was like, so you're just making up, like, stuff. Like, you just make up a number. It's like, that's how much they owe. And so he always thought it was super dumb. Even so, my dad was still like a very much like a staunch Republican. And I kind of was too. You know, I drank the Kool-Aid harder than anybody else in here. I joined the military. And I thought I was going to go overseas and me somehow shooting some random Middle Eastern person is going to make me some hero or something. I don't know. I was very much drinking the Kool-Aid hard. as a young 18-year-old, and that's how I joined the infantry. And I joined, and I was like doing these things in basic, and they're making us yell kill when we're doing like some stupid exercise where we're like walking sideways, like in a pseudo crab walk. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. And so I never really drank the Kool-Aid in the military completely, just because I always thought a lot of what they do is really dumb. Even so, it's still like that. They think they're super awesome and super badass. And I just kind of, I can't help but laugh at them because they just think of themselves so highly. But I never really became an anarchist due to just directly reading scripture, I guess. I kind of almost got it indirectly just by being in the military. And then once I got out of the military, I realized how, like, for one, I was miserable in the military, which a lot of people in the military will not admit or lie to themselves. But I hated being in the military just because I was treated badly. And that's not universal. A lot of what it is, your experience in the military has a lot to do with your leadership and who's above you and who's surrounded with you. But the people that were above me, there's a handful of leaders that just, they were not good people.
Let me tell you about the Kool-Aid I drank when it came to the military. Because back in after 9/11, me and a buddy at church, our goal was to go join the Arkansas National Guard after 9/11. And our whole point was to go into the military and preach the gospel. That's what we were going to do. Never dawned on us that we'd be carrying a weapon or maybe killing somebody in the process. We were just going to go tell people about Jesus. That was our reasoning. And I don't know if y'all have heard me talk about this on the show, but I didn't get accepted in the National Guard because I was 4 pounds overweight. They tried to send me to the Marines. I'm like, I don't want to do this full time. I just want to go shoot somebody and tell them about Jesus. And they wouldn't accept me into the National Guard because I was 4 pounds overweight. He got accepted. He got taken. And as soon as his feet hit the ground in Iraq, he was in a firefight. I mean, it was terrifying to him. But he said he did get to talk to folks about Jesus and this and that. I haven't talked to him in years, so I don't know how he's doing and how that all that worked out. But that was a Kool-Aid I drank. You know, we're gonna suit up and we're going to tell folks about Jesus while carrying a weapon. Then you go back and you start looking at the early church and how the early church operated. That was not cool. They I've read too that the early church wouldn't even let a soldier into the church unless they left the military. And I like to point that out to cops who are Christians, and they look at you cross-eyed. I'm like, you're sitting here talking about Jesus, but you're you got a badge on your chest, and you're carrying a weapon, writing tickets to folks for doing 10 miles over the speed limit, taking their money. This is not Jesus. Anyway, I don't want to go off on that tangent, but I will go off on that tangent sometimes. So I'm going to slow down for a little bit.
It's hard not to, you know?
It's really hard not to, because it's strange to me, because I can look at them and I can see that they seem like they've got a good heart. They're good on the outside. But when they put that uniform on, what are they doing at work? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? How are you reconciling your faith in Christ and the teachings of Christ, and you're being paid through extortion? How do you not understand that about your paycheck? And the same thing with the military, and why you were talking about other military folks. I've had several vets on the show, and you said you kind of came to anarchy indirectly because of your time in the military. A lot of the veterans I've talked to on the show, that happened to them as well. Like, they took a step back. They saw what was happening while they were in the military, and like, something's not right here. And they're Christians. And so they kind of stepped back. It's like, oh, maybe anarchism. When they found anarchy, it's like, oh, that makes sense. I didn't find anarchy through the scripture, like you mentioned, Wyatt, but I discovered my faith coinciding with anarchy when I became an anarchist. If that makes sense. Like, when I talked to Larkin Rose on the show, I told him, I said, I read the Bible completely different now as an anarchist. I see it all through the Bible, which I think is a cool segue into what I want to talk to you guys next. Cause I listened to y'all's episode, A Biblical Case for Anarchy. And I loved how y'all laid this out. It was about an hour and a half. hour and a half show that you guys did, and I've listened to it several times on purpose because I enjoyed it and to prepare for this today to talk to you guys. But I want to kind of let's break that down a little bit because I don't which one of y'all do the editor guy here, the interjector. Y'all forgot to say
I'm the editor. Yeah,
is that you? So yeah. There was something that you brought to my attention while listening to this that I don't think a lot of people really think about, because when you talk to somebody about Christian anarchy who is still a Christian statist, they want to bring up King David. And I think this is an important point that you brought up during the show that Christians need to listen to or hear, because it started with King David and ended with Jesus. Jesus is the final king. No king but Christ. And I don't think, and I love that so much about what you said, and I want to break that down with you guys. Let's talk about that for a little bit, because when I talk to a Christian who's still kind of entangled with this stuff, you know, to use the words of Keith Giles, Jesus Untangled, you get to talking to these folks, well, there was always been kings. Yeah, but didn't we read 1 Samuel 8, and Samuel told us what was going to happen if we had a king? Well, but what about King David? Nathan, what about King David?
Man, there's so much to dive into there. Almost feel put on the spot a little bit. Thanks. No, but I mean, well, there's so many aspects of King David that just kind of proves the point. People view like, well, he was the good king. He was a man after God's own heart, and God ordained him. Well, God chose Saul too. And Saul was the predecessor of David. And God chose this lineage, and he chose lots of kings, did lots of bad stuff. David is someone that was prevented from fulfilling the building of the temple because he was a warmonger who had too much blood on his hands. He's someone who committed murder, adultery, all kinds of awful things. And that's not to say he wasn't someone who also lived a beautiful life in some ways, and is an inspiration for Christian men as well. But the whole point is that he was a flawed being, just like every other king, to varying degrees of sinfulness. And it wasn't until his lineage was complete in Jesus, the perfect king, the perfect man, the second Adam, that we actually have a good king to follow who is perfect. And so people will reference David, and I the point falls flat to me, honestly. I don't think that's some sort of good, perfect representation of it. David did all the things that's warned about in 1 Samuel 8. So just because Saul fell on his face before David and then David took his place doesn't mean David didn't screw up a whole lot too, and everyone in his lineage did as well. Solomon was the wisest man ever, and look at his reign, you know? So He's another example of 1 Samuel 8. He's not someone perfect, and he's not someone who fits within the perfect will of God.
And Jesus is the final king. And I think this is what's so missed by so many Christians is, okay, we know that we call Jesus king, and yet we want to run to the booth every 2 to 4 years and try to find another king or somebody else to represent us, you know, the constitutional republic that we're supposedly live under in the United States of America, which is garbage. I remember you being that guy. Well, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. I was that guy saying all that the whole time. And now I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all the same garbage at the end of the day. But you got folks running to the voting booth. When you already have King Jesus, why do you think Donald Trump's going to be any better than Jesus? Or Joe Biden's going to be better than Jesus? What are you doing?
That's the whole point of like, oh, the good kings of the Old Testament or whatever. That was just lineage leading up to Jesus. It was all part of the plan, all the way back to the lineages and the genealogies and Genesis and all that stuff. It was leading to Jesus. That's the final. There's no king of Israel after Jesus. There's none of that in the Bible. None of that in the epistles. There's no king. Jesus is now king. And so people trying to put their presidential candidate or congressman or mayor or whatever in some sort of place over them, you're now defying the new covenant itself, because the new covenant is following Jesus. He is the fulfillment of law, and he is the perfection of it. it's not, you don't need a king anymore.
Wyatt, Anthony, y'all want to add anything to what Nathan said?
No, he kind of nailed it. I'm newer to this. So these gentlemen are way more versed in scripture and theology than I am. I just bring more of the anti-state side to it while still re-embracing Christianity.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about your anti-state side of it, because I'm all about some anti-state conversation. I'm a huge fan of anti-state conversation. I mean, you told me when you were telling me about yourself, you were telling me about, you know, growing up in Catholicism, falling away, and then coming back to Christianity and finding anarchy. But along the way, where did you find that anti-state? Well, what happened?
So honestly, it kind of happened after 2008. That's rightfully right. I turned 18 in time for the 08 election, and I voted. And the Republicans lost. And I'm like, well, this is a sham, you know? So I didn't vote in 12.
It's all rigged.
Yeah, already. For first taste, bad experience. Not very resilient, I know. But then I get to 2012, didn't vote, didn't care. 16 comes around, still didn't vote. But I was starting to kind of creep in. I want Donald Trump to win. He won. And then in 2020, I'm starting to fall away from politics as I'm watching the world unfold on itself with COVID. And I regretfully vote again and he loses. I'm like, well, this is definitely a sham. I'm batting 1,000 right now. So, well, I guess I'd be batting 0, but
swing it a miss.
Yeah. Don't get an extra try. It's not wiffle ball.
No, we're taking the bat out of your hand. No more voting, Anthony. We're done.
That's only 2 strikes. You're going to vote a third time.
Yeah, I let go and hit the third baseman. You know, so at that point, just had a kid, watching everything unfold, and everything just getting hyped up in the media, overinflated, racial division, tensions, socioeconomic collapse. And I'm just like, how on earth is any man going to come in and fix this on the premise that it's the most important election of all time? When I've heard that, the last 6 election cycles that I've been able to participate in, but have, you know, thankfully not, that's when I run into Nate and his little libertarianism spiel there, his little side quest.
That's where they get you right there. That's where those libertarians get you. They suck you in with this this freedom stuff that we hadn't heard of with as a Republican.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was preying on my vulnerability. And yeah, so just going through the discussions with him, because at this point I'm just completely radicalized. There's no peaceful resolution. It's only going to be resolved through violence. There's no voting, vote from the rooftops. And that's obviously not what we stand for at all as Christians or as men today. And just through time and attrition and re-embracing the gospel and getting my family involved and going back into church and separating from poisonous aspects of my life and individuals who were tainting my view on Christ through faith and approaching from a freedom aspect and then further into an anarchy aspect, I begin to understand Jesus himself was an anarchist. His message would be considered treason, but he's the truth. So which one is it? Because you can't have both, right? You can't love God and money, i.e. the state. So through, I guess it's like a simultaneous progression, through Christianity and anti-statism, I've just leaned heavily, rightfully so, more towards Christ while just absolutely resenting the government and everything they stand for. Because as a father, how can I vote for someone who says they're Catholic or Protestant based on the fact of their denomination and then willingly give them my money or accept the tax hikes to procure more weapons for the Houthis to get bombed by the Saudis? And then I'm watching Ukraine unfold. And we're just ramping that up. It's hard to find diapers. It was hard to find baby food. It was hard to find everyday essentials. Wages, work was slow. People were unemployed. I still put a real importance on, you know, inflating the economy to fund more wars. And then it's the kicker. I get into a traffic accident at work, right? I get a ticket. Okay. But I start thinking, like, why am I getting a ticket? Because my taxes already pay for the officer's time. She has insurance, but my ticket's not going to go to her deductible, right? I have to pay my deductible. I'm like, so where does that $260 go? And that funny enough, $260 was enough for me to be like, this is the biggest sham anyone has ever created. And the cop was a real D-bag about it too, man.
Man, I'm loving this. In my neighborhood, it's a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. And my truck does not idle at 20 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And on the way out of the neighborhood, I'm going downhill and I'm coasting into a stop sign, going around a corner. I can't see the cop. He gets me doing 30 and a 20, gives me a ticket. And he told me, he goes, stay hydrated. This is in the summer. He goes, stay hydrated out there. And I'm thinking,
son of a gun.
Jesus told me to love my enemy. Jesus told me to love my enemy. Jesus told me to love my enemy. And I locked it up. And I waited till the last day to take care of this ticket. And I called to pay it. And you know what they did? They said, if you pay it right now, it won't go on your record. So your insurance won't see it. No court costs. So basically, They took $120 out of my wallet. For what? 10 miles over speed limit? There was no victim. Where's the crime?
Mm-hmm.
You called it a sham. This is how the mafia works. You got the mafia, and you got their thug enforcers out there on the streets. We like to call them road pirates, right? And I used to be big pro cop guy. You know, when I get time, and I haven't had much time lately, but I train jujitsu, and there's cops in there. That's the only time I get to fight with a cop and not get arrested, basically. No, but I loved your story, man, because it reminds me of so much of you did finally say, like, hang on a second. And we need more people like Anthony going, hang on a second. That's all it takes, is just to start thinking about it for a second. Like, hang on a second. This is wrong. What you're doing to me and my family, I've got a child, and I'm speaking as Anthony, I've got a child, and you're taking $260 out of my pocket. For what? That $260 is going to pay for that baby's food or diapers. You know, and we need more people to start waking up to that reality that this is a sham. The whole system is a sham. And I think we just got to keep talking. And when you get to this conversation with folks, tell them that story. Tell them that story, because it's going to resonate with somebody. And I'm talking about your normie out there on the street. Talk to them and tell them, say, this is a sham. Let me tell you why I know this is a sham.
Yeah. You know, then on top of all that, license had been expired, not due to my own fault, because the DMV was only doing appointments only. And they would only accept like 12 appointments a day. If you've ever been to a DMV on a Wednesday, there's 300 people waiting. So it's a 4-month book out to get. So the cop's also like, I'm legitimately asking him, like, hey, as an interpreter of the law, is this going to get me into any more trouble? Because this is, I have my certificate saying I have a booked appointment. And he goes, I don't know. Do you want me to give you a ticket for it? Like, why don't you just address the question? If you just say, I'm not sure, or call somebody else. Again, one cop, not them all. I get it. But the totality of 2020 to 2021, that was just, that's all it was. It was the last degree to hit boiling.
Do you ever listen to something you said earlier in your story? Do you ever listen to any Tupac? Any of y'all ever listen to Tupac music?
Yeah, when I was younger.
I mean, I'm an old man. I still listen to Tupac, so.
Yeah, I say that, but I'm probably like 30, yeah.
But he said something one time in one of his lyrics. He said, they've got money for war, but they can't feed the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about Ukraine and all the money they can fund, you know, to the Saudis to kill the babies in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
They got money for that, but they can't even feed the people in the streets of America.
Yeah.
It's a sham.
Yeah.
Nathan has something to say. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. It reminds me of, just lost exactly what I was going to say. Hang on. what it reminds me of is there was this really stupid thing going around. I remember for a while that was like, if we all split up Elon Musk's money, he has $7 billion. And each person in America can have a billion or whatever it was. It was the worst math on earth. It was all about splitting up, you know, his money. And I'm like, well, okay, we look at the trillions of dollars spent. That legitimately divided between tax, like people paying taxes, that makes a huge difference. And that just being sucked out of our pockets and being spent on murder and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I've made this point more than once too. When people want to talk about charity, I've been told this by folks mainly on the left, but even now the right's starting to say it too. If it wasn't for taxation, we wouldn't be able to help folks. I'm like, wait a second. So you're telling me if you were taking almost 60% of my income with all the taxes that the American government forces on people, that I wouldn't be able to be charitable to other folks? Think about how much charity we could give to, how much more we could help those in need if the government didn't have their boot on the back of our head taking that money out of our check that we work our ass off for, by the way. I guarantee you, I would love to give 60% of my income to folks who need it than to give it to a government that is going to use that to kill a baby in Yemen. Miss me with that conversation, because that is so stupid at this point. The United States government's been at war over 90% of its existence. They're getting money from somewhere. I mean, come on. This is something that Christians need to understand too when they go to the voting booth. Well, Donald Trump didn't start any new wars. Well, he sure didn't end any either. And he ramped up that thing, that genocide in Yemen that we talk about. That nobody wants to talk about that. Man, I love getting a Trumpster, you know, a Trump supporter in the corner and talk to him about this. Well, I don't know. I didn't hear none of that. And I was like, well, you don't want to hear it. I can tell him that he was worse on the Second Amendment than even Barack Obama. Well, I don't think that's true. You don't want to know it's true. Go look it up. It's the truth. And when you point this stuff out to them, they're like, well, he's better than Biden. Maybe. Biden can't even think for himself. That guy's, I mean, we got a president that is obviously afflicted with dementia. This is obvious.
Yeah.
And guess what? The empire still keeps rolling along. It has not stopped the empire whatsoever. You can put a dementia patient in the White House, and guess what? The empire still keeps rolling. That ought to tell you something right there. The presidency is a puppet. It's a puppet. It's a puppet stand. And all you willing dupes are out there running out there and putting these puppets back in office. What the hell is going on with you? If y'all see the movie Idiocracy, this is a documentary. That movie is a documentary at this point. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, I was just going to point out, too, that, you know, many of the people that pulled the levers of government aren't even replaced through elections.
Right.
You know, the president is no better than the one-eyed carnival operator pushing the green button at the ride. You're talking about this machine rolling on and on. He's not building it. He's not maintaining it. He's just pushing the green light.
Yeah. And guess what? They will not get off the roller coaster either.
No.
They stay on the roller coaster no matter if that guy's got one eye or not.
Chain smoking.
They're going to stay on that roller coaster. Wyatt, come on, man. You've been sitting here nodding your head the whole time, so I'm thinking you got something on your mind.
No, I'm just agreeing with you guys.
Oh. Well, let me ask you this, Wyatt, because I was listening to y'all's podcast, like I said, The Biblical Case for Anarchy. And you quoted a lot of stuff from the early church. And this is something that I've really fallen in love with when it comes to the Bad Roman Project. It's really kind of solidified my stance as no king but Christ, as a Christian anarchist. You know, like I said, there's a lot of things that Christians today and even then disagreed on theology-wise. But at the end of the day, it was no king but Christ. And so I appreciate, you know, the stuff you were pointing out with Origen and Tertullian. You know, and I love Polycarp too. I don't know how much you know about Polycarp. You know, from what we know, the dude was taught directly by the Apostle John. And so when I go back to the early church, I'm like, I could sit here and argue with somebody in the modern church about theology or no king but Christ. I'm like, but this guy was taught directly by the Apostle John. So I think I'm going to lean a little more heavily on his understanding than I am yours. You know what I'm saying? So I really appreciated, you know, the stuff you laid out in that episode with early church stuff.
I appreciate it. I think it's kind of a mistake that a lot of Protestants make, is that they kind of only think about what modern people have to say, or like relatively modern people, because Protestantism is really not that old in terms of the entire history of Christianity. And it is kind of odd that so many just kind of like, because they view like Catholics as almost like corrupting view of Christianity or something, they like don't want to go back and think about what older Christians had to say. But like, if you're a Protestant and you don't like Catholicism and you think they corrupted all of it somehow, there has to be a point where it's like they somehow corrupted it. So like, what would happen before that? And realistically, the first 300 church, there was no real denominations at all, because really Christianity was so like relatively fractured. Like all they could do is just send each other notes between the cities. And so like they had communication with each other, but it wasn't very, you know, it still took like a month to get, you know, letters just to go from like, you know, what was, would be Israel now or Palestine to like Turkey or other place, you know, like it really, communication in the ancient world is not the same as it was, as it is now.
They didn't have Facebook.
No, and they didn't have memes either. So, you know.
That's what the early church was missing out on, was memes. That's yeah, where we got it right, was the memes, but the early church had it going on otherwise.
The early church is very interesting. Because there's a lot of Christians that like view the early church way different than what they were. Because like, there's like people that think they're like, they were all these like communist hippies that lived on the outskirts and stuff. Because there's the verses about them talking about how like they pooled their money and stuff like that. And they kind of lived together, which is true somewhat, but it's not like they were hippies in the woods. Like they still like interacted with people. And so it's very interesting that like, so many of what modern Christians view themselves of like trying to be insular and trying to like, but then also trying to spread the word, like they're only spreading the word at like a surface level to like the very base level of like wanting to know about Christ, but like trying to know Christ. They don't really put a lot of effort into it, because like most early Christians couldn't read. There's only a handful of like, literacy is not, it was a pretty modern thing. And so a lot of what people do is like they knew Jesus through talking with other people that could read the Bible, when, you know, whichever small amounts of scripture they had, because the Bible wasn't like a thing created for a couple hundred years realistically, but like praying and trying to know Christ through knowing other people that knew Christ indirectly. And a lot of people think that modern Christians just like have it figured out for some reason. And it really is quite annoying, because there's so many different things that are theologically like different than what a lot of, like, there's so many different things that have theologically been disagreed about over time, but yet like they think like we just have had it figured out and like 100% it's like set in stone of what the Christian is supposed to believe. And I think that's kind of the complacency. It really messes with the modern church, and it really annoys me. I saw it all the time.
Yeah, you said annoying and complacency. Those are fantastic words. I was sitting here trying to figure out a word, because I get really frustrated with the modern church, modern Christians, because I'm like, listen, and I don't know, you know, like, you know, Calvinist or whoever, like they go back so far and they stop. I'm like, hang on a second. There's 400 years of Christianity prior to Constantine that y'all are missing out on. And that's the early church. That's Christianity. And we got to get back to that at some point. You know, I say this all the time. We talk about, you know, that old time religion. No, I'm talking about the first 400 years. I'm not talking about the 50s and 60s. I'm talking about the first 400 years of Christianity. Let's get back to that. Because they had it figured out. Now, that, like I said, they debated on some different things. And I love Tertullian. I mean, Tertullian had it figured out when it came to the empire. There was nobody more outspoken than Tertullian that I can find when it came to the empire. But there's things that he said about hell and stuff that I disagree with. But it does not change how I feel about how he was when it came to the empire. If you go read Tertullian, that's my guy. I mean, Tertullian was my guy when it came to the empire. If you read his stuff when it came, we will not participate in your meetings. The affairs of state are completely foreign to us. And I can sit here and envision him being loud about this. Like he didn't mince any words. This is missed so much with the modern church these days, is they're complacent, like you just said. Well, this is what my pastor told me. I was that guy. My pastor said this. No. Once I figured out, once I started reading the early church, I was like, man, my pastor's been missing the point this whole time. And we need to get back to the early church as Christians and understand what they were saying, especially when it came to the empire. Because when we can figure that point out, how we're supposed to engage the empire, all this other stuff to me will fall into place, because once the church got entangled with the state, it changed the face of the church. It changed it completely. Go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really well said. I find it funny. Yes, people will just take the word of their pastor, which, hey, there are for some very solid and trustworthy pastors out there. But a good pastor will say, don't believe me, check scripture, or stuff like that. That's the sign of a good pastor. And I've been under some very good pastors who will say that. So this isn't just ragging on your modern American Protestant preacher, but people are very quick to just trust whatever dispensationalist, Calvinist, whatever ist pastor and his interpretation. And then you also have to be a dispensationalist, Calvinist, whatever ist Christian. And maybe they'll go as far back as Spurgeon. If they really, really dig deep, they might go as far back as Calvin himself or someone like that. And they'll take their word for it. And I'm not saying there isn't good stuff in the Reformers or Spurgeon. I love Spurgeon a lot. A lot of what he says about empire and wars and stuff. But why is it like only the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and some Catholics are willing to go back to patristics? Because like, that's not, you know, like you said, before Constantine, this is not the church you're thinking of. This isn't even the High Middle Ages church that Martin Luther was excommunicated from. And so it's weird. We have to stop at the Reformers. We have to stop at the 1800s, you know, Second Great Awakening or whatever it was called. Like, why can't we go back? And why don't we go back? Because we should. Because if you look at these are people that come together and are completely in a parallel society. They are in Christ's kingdom, not part of any other kingdom. And this is something I say all the time in debates with people. I say, I have more in common with a Sudanese Christian in persecution under Islam than I have with my next door neighbor who's a conservative constitutionalist who doesn't know Christ. I'm not an American, though I technically am. I'm not an American. I am a Christian, and I'm in Christ's kingdom. And that's what we have to remember, is any person around the world, it doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter where they are or what their culture does or what they eat or do for a living. You have more in common with them if you follow Christ than anyone else on earth. That's so important to remember. And that's what the early church knew. And that's how they acted.
Amen.
So that's just so big for me when it comes to early church stuff.
100%. I love that. Yes, I can't stress it enough. We've got to get back to that old time religion, that old Christianity that, It changed so much for me when I started reading their stuff. I'm like, man, there ain't nobody that I know behaving like this. And I met with a priest here in Memphis in an Orthodox church, and I love the stuff. But the more I got into the Orthodoxy, I realized that there's too much statism involved with that stuff, too. I honestly believe if Christians would go, we've got the Bible, but there's so much beyond the Bible that we can read from these folks that were writing stuff down. It's helped me understand more of the Bible, if that makes sense. Because I could read Tertullian, I could read Polycarp, I could read Origen or Clement of Alexandria. You know, I can read these guys and be like, oh, this actually explains the Bible a little better to me. Hey, folks. We have set up a very simple way to donate to the Bad Roman Project through spotfund.com. Just go to Spotfund and search No King But Christ. This has become necessary to continue to provide a quality podcast and keep production costs down as well. Just $5 or $10 a month will go a long way in helping us keep this project going and continue spreading the very basic message of No King But Christ. So if you like what we were doing and can find it within your budget, go to spotfund.com and search No King But Christ, and you can set up monthly donations or even donate one time. Any and all donations help more than you know. And as always, any donations above production costs will go directly to charities in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank y'all so much. Now back to the show. I want to talk about Against All Flags. This is something I've done with the show before. I had a series of podcasts where I just interviewed other podcasts to help promote other shows, because I want people to go listen to other content other than The Bad Roman. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want people just to listen to The Bad Roman. And when I think about y'all's name, the name of the show, then I asked y'all before we started recording. I'm a big sports guy, big sports fan. I got some tickets through work to go and watch the Memphis Grizzlies play. First NBA game ever. And we're sitting there talking. Then the guy came over and started talking about, you know, stand up for the national anthem. I'm like, oh, wait a second. What am I going to do here? It reminds me of the Ron White bit. He goes, You ever have one of those days, just, I don't care. Take her down. I don't care. And I've had these discussions with folks in the Bad Roman discussion group and the anarcho-Christian group about when the national anthem is played, what do you do? And my old thing was like, well, I'll just stand and just participate, but I'm not really going to participate. I'm not going to put my hand over my heart, not going to take my hat off, but I'll stand up because I don't want to cause a confrontation. When it happened, I just stayed sitting down. And I don't know if it was beer courage. I don't know what it was, but I just stayed sitting. And it's not like a Colin Kaepernick moment. It was a Craig Hargis moment. And I could feel the hate on the back of my neck. And I even heard people, I can't believe he's not standing. But nobody ever said anything directly to me. Now, had they asked me about it, I'd have been like, well, it's against my religion. Now, if they want to go further, I'm going to be like, I don't pledge allegiance to the empire. I'm not going to sing their songs. I know what the empire is doing. I know the empire is slaughtering people across the world. I'm not going to participate in any of that garbage. So I stayed seated. At the time, I was like, whatever. But the more I thought about it afterwards, I was like, man, that's how you get in fights. Because people get really upset about that stuff. I would have been that guy. Like, back in the day, I'd be like, I can't believe this guy's not standing up and saluting the empire. But I didn't think about it as saluting the empire. Now I understand the empire for what it is. I'm not going to salute the empire. I'm not going to sing my praises to the empire. How do y'all handle that? Have y'all had to deal with that kind of situation before? Go ahead, Wyatt.
I actually had a moment like this, like right when I was getting out. My little brother was still like in high school and he was doing like wrestling and stuff. And so they would do the national anthem right before. And I stood up just because I was not fully an anarchist yet. I was like just getting out of the military. I was still technically, and I was actually on like the, they call it terminal leave, but it's like you use all your days that you have left over and you get out early, basically is what it is. But anyways, like I remember just kind of like, I didn't want to piss my dad off because I knew he still has the disconnect because like he says he's an anarchist. But he still like very much disconnects the flag from the empire. He thinks the flag represents the people of the U.S., but not the empire. But it's like the flag is the thing that's on the side of the drone that bombs the random, you know, people in the Middle East. And like, it doesn't matter what you think that it is. The rest of the world thinks that flag is evil because it's the flag that's getting waved when a bomb hits a random child. So it really doesn't matter what you think when that flag is used for evil, even though you can so believe so vitriolically that it's like good, it's doing evil and it makes it evil. And so I goofed up. The bad anarchist in me just said, eh, whatever. But I was also just, I didn't want to get into an argument with my dad. And I have argued with my dad about this, but yeah, no, I have an experience with that. And now I'm probably just going to sit down. Or just try to go pee
next time. Excuse yourself.
That's a good move.
Just excuse yourself from the situation.
It's a different kind of salute, you know?
No, that's not. I mean, I get that. I mean, you don't, because like you just said, Wyatt, that flag that represents something that is evil. Now, people can say, well, it, like you said, it represents the people of this country. I don't believe that. I think it represents the empire. Like when you pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God. Come on. We all know the lines. We all know the words. But when you sit there and think about what it says, like, I'm not pledging allegiance to that. Shall I carry a flag? It is a rival to Christ. This is not an opinion. This is how the early church operated. I'm only an anarchist because I'm a Christian. I pledge my allegiance to Jesus Christ, the King, my King. And if that flag represents something evil, that does not represent my King, because Jesus was not evil. Jesus was about peace, and there's nothing peaceful about the United States of America government. Now, there's a lot of peaceful folks in this country. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody in this country. There's a lot of evil that goes on with the United States government that Wyatt so very well pointed out. When folks in that other country see that flag, that doesn't matter to them when they're having a bomb dropped on their house or their wedding or on their funerals. It's not because they hate us for our freedom like we believe George W. Bush told us, right? No, that's not true. They hate us because we're killing their families and we're occupying their land. Leave them alone. Let them figure this stuff out on their own. It is not our job to police another country. And as a Christian, it is not your job to celebrate this stuff either.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, it's the cognitive dissonance is really there. And people will, I don't know, there are some American Christians that will make so much of an effort in their Christianity, in their immediate circle, or their community. And then that will just all go out the window when politics is involved. Like there are a lot of people that are very charitable. I mean, Christians are the most charitable people on earth statistically. Even Western Christians that are taxed to death, we also give extra on top of that. And so this isn't to disparage Christianity or Western Christians even necessarily, just the fact that it's like, okay, we want to do stuff for the homeless. We want to help out widows and orphans. We want to have a strong church community. We want to keep men from killing themselves. We want to keep women from being beaten. We want to build up our community and people and be Christ-like to our community. And that's great. And I love that. But then it's like, now let's turn the Middle East to glass. And it's like, what are you talking about? Like this is the world. And just because there's imaginary lines and flags and songs doesn't change the fact that they're still people. And if you care about the homeless guy who isn't a Christian, then you should care about the Muslims as well. And you should care about everyone around the world. And it sounds like hippie and whatever, like we were talking about with the early church, but it's like, no, it's just factual and truthful and how you should be living. So why are you living just in your community in a charitable and loving way, but you hate people, you know, of a different party or of a different country or different religion or whatever?
I was going to say, it's strange how they pivot like that, but I used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
We probably all did. I mean, I think anybody listening to this show probably did that at some point, you know. And I think that's where my frustration comes with a lot of Christians. I'm like, all right, I'm not saying I got it all figured out, but I know Jesus told me to love my neighbor and my enemy. It's very basic. It's a very basic teaching. And when you boil it down, when you boil your faith down to just that, it changed everything else to me will fall into place. Like, I don't get into theological arguments too much with folks because I don't care. I don't care if people agree with me on certain things. I don't care because we're all going to find out one day, you know, who was right. But if we can just shrink it down to love your neighbor and love your enemy, let's see what happens. I think that's how you change the world. But before I let you guys go, we go for about an hour now, and I try to keep it, you know, with hour and 15 minutes. I don't want to keep y'all too long, but tell me about Against All Flags. I mean, how did this come about and how... I mean, you told us how it came about earlier, Nathan, but what are your goals with this? Because, like I said, told you in messaging, I love the content. I appreciate the plug that the Bad Roman guy on y'all's episode, because that means a lot to me. I'm going to return the favor. I want to get these guys on the show and plug them on the Bad Roman podcast. So just tell us all things Against All Flags and what your plans for with this podcast and your project in the future.
Yeah, I'll go first, but I want to give the other guys an opportunity to weigh in too. So, like I said, we technically have been going for 2 years now, under a couple of different names. We're now officially Against All Flags. There was a bunch of personal issue stuff that came up last year, ended up having to get everything pulled off the internet and all this stuff. So right now we only have a few episodes up if people do go check us out. And we're trying to commit to be, every 2 weeks at least have an episode out. So we are trying to get back to our consistent rhythm that we used to have. We used to do weekly back in 2022.
That's tough.
It was pretty tough, man. I mean, I was getting up like 2 hours earlier than usual to edit it before going to work. It got crazy. But we do want to have, you know, at least a couple out every month for you guys, anyone listening. And so we are picking it up, even if you go onto our page and see that there aren't that many episodes. We're also re-uploading some of our older episodes to make sure they're still out on the internet. But the ultimate goal of what we do is, yes, no king but Christ is the ultimate message. We are against all flags. We are against idolatry. And we are trying to pursue Christ and help other people walk with him. But when we kind of started it, I noticed there was kind of this middle ground that I don't see a lot, where there's a lot of like prepper gun guy kind of people that don't care about Christianity that are making big waves and big gun tubers and all this other stuff doing that. And then there is Christian based content and there is anarcho-Christian podcast and the Bad Roman and people like you guys that are focusing more on that philosophy. And I kind of wanted to create a little more of a bridge where we can talk about prepping and we can talk about gardening and sustainability. We actually even have a podcast episode that's talking about Christianity and violence and defensive violence and stuff like that. We also just like to connect with people around the world. We just had our buddy Hamish from Australia on recently to talk about just what's going on there, to try to connect people from around the world. So there's a lot going on. We do try to keep up our Christian episodes and biblically based episodes. But we also just want to help people connect. We want to help people learn because there are a lot of people that don't know much about growing a garden or whatever. We're about to re-upload an episode that's two guys that's all about radio communications and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of everything. Obviously, No King But Christ is the main purpose, but we do want to be educational and connect people in like the prepping world as well.
I love that because, and I think it's important to have different perspectives like that and have conversations like that. Like we do that too with the Bad Roman. Like I've got an episode we're going to release this coming week about true crime. It was with a podcaster.
Interesting.
For some reason, true crime catches my attention when I get home from work in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. And there's a lot of true crime stuff on TV. And for some reason, I watch this stuff because I don't know what it is about it. But I had her on the show. She's got a podcast that talks about it. And we were able to tie in the United States government being the ultimate serial killer that this world's ever seen.
Interesting.
And so
cool.
It was kind of cool how that all came together. Like I can have a show like that, but somehow it all comes back to the evils of the state at some point. It's funny how that works. And I don't know if you're familiar with Copperhead Hills Farm. I'm going to have that one to talk about how supporting your local ranchers and farmers can help subvert the state.
Nice.
You know, doing that type of, those type of conversations. So I think it's important. Yeah, I mean, we do know King with Christ. That's our goal. But at the same point, at the same time, we branch off into some other different things to kind of, I mean, come on, you got to keep it fresh a little bit. Because if we just sit here, no King but Christ, no King but Christ, no King but Christ, no King but Christ. I get it. It's the goal. But come on, we can all tie it back in together somehow with some different conversations as well. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, I just been listening to your show for some time, especially through my transition period here into Christianity again. But you had an episode with an atheist, and you guys were talking about how the state will always capitalize over theology by placing its flag atop of our house of worship. And we were talking about that episode, I think that night, it was a Friday, we listened to it. And I distinctly remember saying, man, we got to get this up. We got to get to a point where we can, you know, go on the Bad Roman podcast. We got to get to a point where we can have Craig on our show, you know? And that was our goal and our ambition. And as we've transcended towards this, you know, obviously we've lost sight of that because that was just a short-term goal. And through direct conversations with individuals on all three of our platforms, on Instagram, we've helped guide many people away from the violence and from the statism back into Christ. And if I could screenshot my DMs and just how many people that just thank me for just, you know, breaking stuff down for them in a layman way, because that's my specialty. And the content, like Nathan mentioned, we just did a Friday night episode recording on defensive violence and Christianity, citing scripture, all that good stuff. That'll be out probably by the end of this week. But we just continue to aim to grow and continue to aim to spread the message. And like I said, build that bridge through the generations too. I think we kind of have an outreach to the younger generation who may have only been born maybe post 9/11 and have only known the authoritarian, you know, regime of government overwatch and overreach. And so we're doing that. And it's weird to say because I'm older than both these guys, probably your age, Craig.
I'll be 49 this year, so I don't know.
I'm not there, but I feel like it there, you know? I feel like I'm there.
Tell my knees when we get up out of bed every day to go to work. But I like what you said about the DMs and the messages you get. And that's something that really encourages me too, the messages I get from folks who, I mean, I got an email the other day. We just released an episode about anarchy in the Book of Mormon. But when I told folks in the discussion group that we're going to do this episode, well, you might as well just be talking about, I don't know, they were being hateful. And I'm like, hang on a second. It's just a conversation. Calm down a second. And I had an email. I read this email, and this guy, he messaged, he goes, I'm a libertarian Mormon, almost to anarchy. He goes, but I really appreciate you having this guy on the show and just having the conversation. You know, it's the encouragement that from listeners that I get that keeps this thing going. I mean, because, and don't get me wrong, there's hate mail. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's going to happen, and that's okay. I'm 100% going to engage that. Now, if it turns into a circular debate that's going nowhere, I disengage pretty quick because I ain't got time for that. But the vast majority of the messages we get from folks are very encouraging. That's what keeps us going, and I appreciate that a lot. And I thank you for pointing that out as well, because that's going to keep y'all going. You know, getting the encouragement. But there's going to be hate along the way. If you haven't had hate yet, you're going to get hate. You know, so, and it's good. It's okay. That means it opens up another discussion.
I was going to say, it also just shows that maybe you're doing something right. When the collective majority is fighting it back against what you're saying, it's probably worth saying.
Well, the biggest thing I've noticed too is just in real life conversations, not so much DMs, like conversations with folks at work or at the grocery store. I've had the opportunity to meet folks in Memphis who, when they hear about it and I tell them about what we're doing and what we're about, like, yeah, they agree with it. I'm like, yeah, but you need to go listen, because there are going to be some things you might not agree with. Go check it out, because I can sit here and say no king but Christ and you can agree with that, but do you really understand no king but Christ when you're going to that voting booth? Do you really understand that? And I've come to the point now, not just recently, but over the course of this project, that I believe that voting is a sin. I don't know where y'all fall on that, but it's something that I believe is a rejection of God. I didn't say it. God said it. Don't get mad at Craig. Don't get mad at the Bad Roman Project. God said it. Go talk to him about it. Go ahead, Wyatt.
No, it's in 1 Samuel 8, if anyone wants to read it. It's the one verse that every anarcho-Christian cites like every other week, but
yeah.
It's true, because it literally says it pretty dang well. I do find it hilarious that every single, no matter what we're talking about, we always bring in the anarchism and like the state is evil. Like we could be talking about like something as simple as like gardening or something, you know, just something super simple and like wholesome. And it's like, yes, I can't wait to grow this food so that I can avoid taxes because I hate the government. It's so funny, but it's so true. But it's kind of a weird little quirk of our community as a whole, which I find hilarious. But thank you for having us on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I've been looking forward to this. Like I said, we got connected on Instagram. I'm not really even sure how. And I think it's beautiful what you guys are doing. I want to encourage y'all to keep doing what you're doing, because we need more people out there like you saying this. No king but Christ. We have no king but Christ. And if we get more, and I do this all the time, I encourage people, write a blog, start a podcast. There's something about competition, I guess. I guess there's competition when you see how well some other people are doing. Like, what can we do to be doing as good as they are? You know what I'm saying? But I really don't care about the competition side of it. I want more voices out there. Because I don't want to do this by myself. I told Steven from Anarcho-Christian a long time ago, when I first started talking about doing this show, somebody messaged me. He goes, are you trying to compete with Anarcho-Christian? I was like, no, I love Anarcho-Christian. But I got some things to say too. You know, and if you look at our two podcasts, at the end of the day, it's No King But Christ. But it's two different podcasts. I can sit and listen to Stephen on his podcast. I feel like I'm sitting in a Sunday school class being taught. You know what I'm saying? And you go to the Bad Roman Project, you hear me just spouting off a bunch of nonsense that people resonate with. You know, it's just two different podcasts. But at the end of the day, it's no king but Christ. There's no competition. We just want everybody to walk away from the state and follow Jesus. That's it.
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, guys, before I let you go, why don't you go and plug your stuff? Tell us where we can find Against All Flags.
Against All Flags is just, we're only on Instagram right now. I believe as far as podcasting things go, we are only on Google and Spotify. I've been fighting with the other platforms to get in there, but Spotify is the main one. So if you want to check us out there, that's the best place. On Instagram, it's just against_all_flags_pod is us on Instagram. If you want to give a follow, I'm the main runner of that page and make the memes for it and all that stuff. But the other guys have their personal pages too that are a big part of the project as well. So it's not just that page. So Anthony, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, I also kind of have a subsidiary page against_all_flags_boomer because I'm the old one. I'm not a boomer though, but it resonates. I do have a personal page, beltfed_bandit. That's just a meme page. But we do also, as the government would call it, propagate Christian extremism.
We'll have none of that.
None of that. But those are my pages. But you can find me morally on the Against All Flags page.
I just have a personal page that I like rarely post on. But if you want to like message me to talk about stuff, this is that's the place to do it. It's Wyatt_J_D_.
Very fluid.
I know, it's super, rolls off the tongue real nice.
All right, guys, man, this was fun. Like I said, I've been looking forward to this, and I appreciate the content, and I appreciate the plug on y'all's show. It means a lot to us because it's always fun for me to see how far-reaching this can be and that folks are actually listening.
Yeah, we're very thankful that you had us on here. This has been really fun. It's crazy. I'm talking to Craig from the Bad Roman podcast. Never would have thought we got here, guys.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Bad Roman Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcasts to never miss an episode. And while you're at it, if you like what you heard, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, it really helps people find us. 100% of donations are given to local charities in Memphis, Tennessee. To learn more about the Bad Roman Project and to find show notes, please visit thebadroman.com.